Developers are responsible for more than ever these days, not just the code they write, but also the containers and cloud infrastructure their apps run on, and probably the billing on top of that, which is neither here nor there. And a big part of that responsibility is app security, from code to cloud. That's where Sneak comes in. Sneak is a frictionless security platform that meets teams where they are, automating application security controls across their existing tools, workflows, and the AWS application stack, including seamless integrations with AWS Code Pipeline, Amazon EKS, Amazon Inspector, and several others. Deploy on AWS, secure with Sneak, learn more at sneak.co/morning. That's sneak.co/morning. And my thanks to them for sponsoring my ridiculous nonsense. I originally had a throwaway joke on Twitter that became an article, 17 ways to run containers on AWS. That was all well and good, but because I don't want to leave well enough alone, a few months later, I wrote 17 more ways to run containers on AWS. And now, since I don't know when to leave well enough alone and stop beating the greasy smear on the sidewalk where the horse used to be, I want to introduce the third article in this series. Because the line 17 ways to run containers on AWS has had some staying power, I want to first give a bit of context here behind what the point of me putting all these roundups together is. It started off as a customer frustration on my part. I wanted a container to run and instead found myself facing the paradox of choice. I figured I'd start listing off all the various options and was kind of surprised just how many ways there are to run a container with an AWS service. It makes sense on some level. Containers have become many things, but to my worldview, they're first and foremost a packaging format. This list could almost be reskinned as ways to execute a binary on AWS, but that's less fun and nowhere near as engaging. You could also deal with the very real fact that a lot of security issues distill down to running a cryptocurrency miner in someone else's account. In some ways, a lot of these container approaches provide an abuse vector. So I suppose I could take the high road and say that it's here as a warning to maintain vigilance about security. But honestly, I just think it's funny. Let's dive in. Number one is ECR Public by way of AppRunner. In 2021, ECR Public got a launch with AppRunner button, and the world has basically not changed all that much as a direct result of that feature, if I'm being honest. Number two is RDS Custom. Once upon a time, it was easy to figure out the difference between RDS and EC2. Then RDS Custom came along and blurred the line. You can now use explicit AMIs for your RDS Custom instances, and yes, Virginia, they can run containers. Number three is the Amazon Genomics CLI, and I do not know why Genomics requires its own specific CLI, but it does spin up a few specific things for that workload in a variety of locations, including, of course, a Fargate-managed container. Please, don't create a monster with this thing. Number four is, terrifyingly, via CloudFormation. Yes, I already mentioned CloudFormation in one of my previous roundups, but this talks instead about breaking formation, the zero-day vulnerability that Orca Security reported to AWS that they fixed. Before that, you could apparently make requests on behalf of a CloudFormation infrastructure server. I suppose you could safely say that this particular way to run containers has been deprecated. Number five is AWS Panorama, which is a device that brings image recognition to your existing cameras. You can, of course, provision it via containers. Number six is with AWS Systems Manager. There are a few ways to do this via Systems Manager, and I've talked about them before, but this new way is to use Systems Manager's on-premises instance management capability, thus solving the long-standing problem I've had of not paying AWS to run containers on my own laptop. Number seven is on EC2 spot instances. You might well posit that it is ridiculous for me to call this option out as distinct from EC2, which I've talked about previously. I agree with you. And yet, the AWS Containers marketing website does this too. Who am I to argue with AWS marketing? After all, they never responded to my CMO application. Number eight is Google Cloud's Anthos. And I have zero idea why you would use one cloud's tooling to run workloads in another cloud, but apparently this is either something that customers do or something cloud marketers fervently wish that customers would do. So they made this technically possible, and it's extremely cursed. Number 9 is IAM. And yes, that's right. I said IAM. All you have to do to prove this is to commit root credentials to GitHub and then wait. You'll very shortly find containers coming out of your ears, which is why free tier surprises have grown geometrically in recent years. Crypto miners are spectacular at wringing out every last cycle from an AWS account and quickly. But hope is not lost. If you want to configure a service that confuses you, scope IAM credentials to that service and publish the creds in public. Wait a few minutes and you'll discover that whatever that service is has been transformed into a cryptocurrency miner. Close the access off, replace the containers with your workloads, and knock off early for lunch. Weaponizing bad actors to do your job is fast becoming mainstream thanks to ChatGPT. Number 10 is DeepRacer. And yes, someone has done this and it's amazing. Allison Thaxton installed Docker on a DeepRacer car to solve a problem, and I am absolutely here for this. Number 11 is Code Catalyst. AWS released Code Catalyst, and it's a freaking wonder of a service. It does so much right. A customer identity beyond that tied to a specific AWS account. A free tier that will never charge you because your card isn't ever charged until you affirmatively upgrade. A unified view of AWS products in service of getting your application up. And I'm excited to see where it goes. That said, it lets you spin up applications in a few different key ways, and of course containers are prolific within it, so here it is on the list. Number 12 is EventBridge Pipes. This connects sources to targets, but it can also enrich the data along the way via Lambda functions or step functions. Both of those in turn can do their work via containers, so yep, there you go. Number 13 is AWS Application Composer. Another attempt at the spin an application up space, Application Composer lets you drag and drop components, such as containers, into place before converting the result into that most sinful of languages, YAML. Number 14 is tricking an AWS employee into running it for me. This one is very far below the belt, but I couldn't help myself. I posted a gist explaining how some service that I think was AppRunner wasn't doing what it was supposed to be doing. Some helpful AWS employee ran through the gist, saw that the container spun up with a web server listening, hit it, and was rewarded with the image that you can find if you click the show notes for this show. I assure you it is worth the effort to do that. I would also like to point out that this person did absolutely nothing wrong and was attempting to help a customer who, in this instance, was being a complete jackhole. Please don't do this. It's honestly the one thing on this list that I regret doing. Number 15 is Finch. I've been using Finch for a while now as a drop-in replacement for Docker Desktop for Mac, and as a result of this, if Finch doesn't run containers, I'm going to be filing a GitHub issue or two about it. Number 16 is the AWS Modular Data Center. If you're the US government and wish to use the Joint Warfighting Cloud Capability Contract to just absolutely destroy some faraway place, there are new offerings available exclusively to you. Details are obviously sparse, but I have to assume that you can drop this thing, laden with containers all the while, and have it parachute down to the battlefield. I suppose we'll continue to lie to ourselves as a society and say we're exporting democracy when we're really exporting Docker containers. And number 17 is Workshop Studio. Usually you need a facilitator at an event to get access to this, but as of this recording, they claim that a browsable catalog of workshops is coming soon. That lets you spin up infrastructure in a sandboxed environment for which you are not responsible to pay and achieve a goal. So very often, that goal includes containers along the way. And there you have it, 17 ways to run containers. Please, please, please tell me that I won't have to write a fourth installment. That said, if I've missed any, please take a second to let me know what they are.